What is the future of the U.S. and Kentucky economies? Perspectives from Dr. Chris Bollinger, Director of the Center for Economic and Business Research at the University of Kentucky. I'm Dave Blackwell, Dean of the Gatton College of Business and Economics and Professor of Finance. Welcome to UK Market Viewpoint. Dr. Chris Bollinger is a Gatton Professor of Economics in the Gatton College of Business and Economics at the University of Kentucky. He earned his Ph.D. in economics from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he is the director of the Center for Business and Economic Research, which produces the Kentucky Annual Economic Report. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Dave.
I see that the leading article is on the U.S. and Kentucky economies. Broadly speaking, where are the U.S. and Kentucky economies, and what is your outlook for both?
Well, Dave, you know, we're in a slow recovery. It's actually kind of disappointing. But unemployment has been falling over the last few years, and we expect it to continue to fall and return back to its longer-run trends. Employment's been going up. Both of these are really good things, maybe not as fast as we'd like. Kentucky's unemployment rate has generally in the past been above the U.S., and it's now, for the first time in years, fallen to about a similar level. So Kentucky's economy seems to be recovering a little bit faster than the rest of the country as a whole. Right now, we're forecasting moderate GDP growth, in spite of the numbers that have been recently released, for 2013, somewhere on the order of magnitude of 2 to 2.5% for the U.S. and maybe as high as 3 to 3.5% for Kentucky. We're forecasting the unemployment rate to continue its slow decline, not as fast as we'd like or hope, but it's going to continue on in that steady decline that we've been seeing for the last few years. The biggest problem we're facing, Dave, right now is a lot of uncertainty. There's uncertainty in the policy realm with a variety of important policy questions at the federal and state level, in particular budgetary, that have to be answered in the next few months. And how those are answered is going to change who wins and who loses in the economy. And, of course, the international scene is rife with uncertainty, and that affects exports and a lot of other things that have deep impacts on the economy. So our big problem right now is uncertainty.
What's different now about the Kentucky economy that's allowing this impact?
What we have seen is that, in general, the unemployment rate in the Kentucky economy went up higher than the nation. But it's coming back faster. And I think the big thing right now is that our housing market has recovered a lot faster than the rest of the country. Our housing market didn't see that big hit that a lot of places, California, East Coast, saw, where there were tremendous and huge losses in home values. That means that all of that wealth loss and all of that uncertainty and a lot of those foreclosures didn't happen at the same rate here. And I think that's allowed us to recover a lot faster.
Are there other positives for Kentucky? I mean, what do we offer that other states don't?
In addition to the fact that it's a beautiful state to live in, we have low crime rates. We're actually significantly lower than the U.S. and most of the competitor states around us, the states that are right around Kentucky and the traditional South. You know, we've seen some steady increases in our fourth and eighth grade test scores over the last few years, and these are highlighted in our report, too. These steady increases are the result of a long policy toward improving schools in Kentucky. Kentucky exports have grown faster than the U.S. as a whole in the last 5 years. That's actually a surprise to a lot of us. And it's not that we don't think Kentucky's products are worth exporting, but we've actually seen a dramatic growth in Kentucky exports, even faster than the growth in the U.S. And finally, one of the things that I find remarkable is the level of entrepreneurship that we see in the state. Entrepreneurship in Kentucky is as good or better than our competitor states and not far from the U.S. as a whole. That means there's people out in Kentucky that are starting their own businesses and engaging in economic activities that enrich us all.
So how does per capita income look in Kentucky? That's a metric that is frequently looked at with respect to economic health.
Well, you know, Dave, this is one of the sore spots in Kentucky's economy. Kentucky's per capita income, let me start that again. Kentucky's per capita income has hovered around 80% of the national level for years, and it hasn't really budged much at all. And we're not losing ground. But our competitor states are at 92%. So we can't chalk it up to, well, it's just cheaper to live in Kentucky, because it's cheap to live in a lot of those states, too. And so that's been a consistent problem, is that our income just isn't as high, and that leads to higher poverty rates, and it leads to a lot of other problems in the state.
What are the things that need to happen to increase the per capita income in Kentucky in the future?
Well, Dave, education. And that's always first on the list. The bottom line is that the more education you have, the more productive you are in the workforce, and the higher your incomes. And Kentucky lags behind the rest of the country in a lot of important measures. While we've made some important gains in the last 20 years, in particular in high school graduation rates, we lag significantly behind the rest of the country in college attainment. 22% of our population has a college degree, while 30% for the nation and about 26% for our competitor states. Another important measure is the rate at which people take advanced placement exams when they're in high school. These are a measure of advanced studies for students, preparing them for college. And what we see is that while it's been rising over the last 20 years, it's consistently below the rest of the country, and we haven't caught up. And we're below our competitor states, too. And one thing that really bothers me and worries me a lot is that our rates of graduating with science and engineering degrees are much lower than the rest of the country and other states. We only produce about 12% of our graduates with science and engineering degrees, while the rest of the country is producing about 16%. Another thing that's important in our per capita income that's also very disturbing is the labor force participation rate. Right now, particularly among 45 to 65-year-olds, we have 10% less participation than our competitor states and the nation as a whole. It's hard to have income if you're not working, Dave. And finally, we lag in innovation. And I think this ties right back to our education. We need more scientists and engineers in Kentucky. We're significantly lagging in patents per capita. We're significantly lagging in total research and development. And we're significantly lagging in small business innovation. In both of those cases, we're at half the U.S. average when we measure it in a per business dollar way. These are important things that lead to higher incomes, that lead to better jobs, and lead to economic growth, and we're behind.
So, Chris, let's dig into the issues with respect to education a little bit. Are there some bright spots that have helped Kentucky to advance in some ways on the education front?
You know, as I mentioned before, high school graduation rates have been on the rise. We've actually achieved a high school graduation rate that's not different, really, than the rest of the country. About 86% of our students graduate from high school or attain some sort of high school equivalent, while it's about 87.5% in the rest of the country. Now, that leaves a little bit of room for improvement, and I hope we continue down that road, but that's a pretty good catch-up over the last 30 years. We've also seen an increase in science and engineering graduates. It was really only about 7.5% in 1990, and now it's up to about 12%. But again, as I mentioned before, it's still significantly lower. So our trends are in good directions. Our eighth grade test scores, in particular the national assessment test scores, have really closed the gap with the rest of the U.S. And that really gives me hope, because this is the next generation. This is the generation of young workers that in the next 10 years is going to go to college. And if they're doing better, they're going to be better prepared to go to college and more successful in general.
This is really an important factor, and of course, we're at a university. We understand the importance of education. Can you point to perhaps a few policy choices that could be made, resource allocations that could be made to improve on this dimension of having more students prepared in science and technology and producing more scientists and engineers in the state?
Dave, I think one of the important things that we have to do as educators and as policymakers is we have to encourage going to college. And one of the ways we do that is actually really simple. We just need to tell kids, you need to go to college, that this is the kind of education you need in order to get a good job in the current economy. And I think that can begin as early as grade school. And we've seen a lot of work in other states and in the rest of the country where people encourage groups to go to college and put in their head early on that this is where they're headed. And those kids continue to get that message and they go on. And I mean, I think if you think about it, if you've always gotten the message that, well, after high school you go to college, then in general you tend to do that. Another thing, of course, is to make college somewhat affordable. Now, I'll tell you, if you look at the statistics, Dave, people who go to college earn a lot more, over $1 million over their lifetime, than people who don't. And so in a long run sense, college is very affordable. You'll make back way more than you spend on college over the course of your life. But that's hard when you have to pay the bills today and the incomes in the future. And I think one of the things, both at a national level and maybe even at a state level, that we ought to be encouraging is really government-type student loans, where the students can take out the loan at a relatively low and relatively fixed interest rate so that they're not bearing a lot of uncertainty, and then pay that loan off over the course of their lifetime. Now, I know students always say, well, I don't want to graduate with debt, but the difference in terms of your earnings over your lifetime will more than make up for that kind of debt. I mean, in some level, of course, it's always easy to say, hey, if the state legislature just gives us more money, we can do more education at the college level. But, of course, that's always hard in a tight fiscal situation like we're facing right now. So I really think these other kinds of approaches of convincing students that, hey, this really is what you need to do, and then providing loans and other types of support like that really may have an impact.
So, Chris, we know economic activity is tied a lot to population and population growth. What are some of the major population trends that you see in the U.S. and Kentucky, and how might that impact the Kentucky economy?
Well, Kentucky's population grew about 7% in the last 10 years. We kind of measure these things from the decennial census to decennial census. So from 2000 to 2010, we saw about a 7% gain in Kentucky's population. The U.S. population grew a little faster at 9%. And I think that's actually something that's maybe a little bit of concern, in that if we're growing at a slower rate, that means that essentially more people are leaving or fewer people are coming. It's not really in this day and age as much a birth rate thing as it is a migration story. And so what that means is people are leaving the state rather than staying here, or at least not coming as much as they are leaving. And so I think that's something we need to look at, and we need to look at what makes that more attractive. And I think part of that story is the economy. We're actually in the middle of the pack in the U.S. in terms of population. We're ranked 26th in terms of the population of states in the country, and that puts us right pretty square in the middle. And so that's a fine place to be for our state. We've seen faster growth in our metropolitan areas. They've grown actually at a rate of about 11% over that decennial period. And we've seen slower growth in our sort of micro areas, smaller cities, and rural areas, 5% for micro areas and less than 0.5% for rural areas. The fastest growing group in our population is the Hispanic population, which is consistent with U.S. trends. But they're not growing at a rate that's so fast that it's really amazing. It's, they have a small population to begin with, and they've gone from about 2% of the population in Kentucky in 2000 to about 3 to 3.5% of the population in 2010. Population growth, I think, is important for overall economic growth. In fact, I think it's one of the things that fuels it, is as people move in, they bring their income, they bring their spending, they get jobs to fulfill our needs, and we get jobs to fulfill theirs, and that generates a good economy. And so I think we need to think about what kinds of things can attract people to Kentucky. And as I mentioned, I mean, in a lot of ways, this is a wonderful state to live in. It's pretty. That's not reflected in the annual report, but we all know it's true. It's got low crime. Our pollution, one of the things we talk about in the annual report, has been improving dramatically over the last 20 years. And in fact, we're doing in a lot of ways better than the U.S. as a whole in abating pollution. We've got some things we need to fix, but I think we're moving in the right direction on some of those. And so I think we need to get the word out that Kentucky's a good place to live and work, and I think that'll help.
I agree. It's a great place to live and work, and while you've identified some serious issues, there's room for a lot of optimism. Listen, Chris, thank you very much. This has been very informative, and I'm assuming based on the great information that you've given that our listeners are going to be interested in getting a copy of the report. Could you remind us again how they could get to the report and when?
Sure, Dave. Glad to do it. Our website is cber.uky.edu, and that's the CBER website, Center for Business and Economic Research. It's also linked as a part of the Gatton College of Business and Economics website at the University of Kentucky. And we're glad to let you take a copy of that and read it at your leisure.
Thank you very much. Our guest has been Chris Bollinger, Gatton Professor of Economics at the University of Kentucky, and Director of the Center for Business and Economic Research. For WUKY, I'm Dave Blackwell. Can you tell me how the listeners could get access to the report?
Sure, Dave. The report, when it's released on Tuesday, February 5th, we'll be going up on the center's webpage, which is cber.uky.edu.